if you'll have us. I want to do a little bit of a different thing at the beginning of this lesson today, because this is a time of encouragement and interconnection, and part of the church, the Valley this family at a distance is on an adventure. The Smiths asked us to join with them, to partner with them, sort of. We are a team with them between here and Albania. And they came last summer, and one of the messages they gave us last summer, I meant to bring a pointer. Never mind. One of the things, if there's a pointer in the sound room, I'll take it. One of the things that they asked for us is they said they feel they're still part of the Valley Congregation. We are still their home church. We're still their body. They're just working somewhere else for a few years, however many years the Lord puts them there. So please be with them. And part of this message is go on to Facebook, if you do Facebook, and they have two different accounts. They have personal accounts by their names, but they also have a Smiths in Albania Facebook account, and you can join that group. This is James preaching, teaching in Albania. That's a picture of Berat, the city that they work in. These are pictures of people in their congregation at camp, at a Bible study, at a fellowship celebration, a Mother's Day gathering of the ladies all gathered around Andrea. But the real sweet picture, the one that's just really inspiring, is the upper left-hand picture for you. They had a I'm detouring a little bit, but they had a Bible Bowl this past summer, and it was for the youth. It was for the teens and the young folks in congregations all around. And the old men of the congregation said, "Why can't we have a team? Can we be part of the Bible Bowl?" And the answer was, "Of course you can." And so that's a picture of your brothers in Christ, new Christians, young Christians, and they're studying for the upcoming Bible Bowl, and they did all right. They did pretty well. Nobody in the Berat congregation won the thing. Other congregations won it overall. It was nationwide. But I just love that. Our brothers, those guys, fiery hearts into the Word of God to learn to be able to participate in the Bible Bowl. I just thought that's cute. An exciting news from just a couple of weeks ago. That's a new sister in Christ. This is Moza. She was baptized into Christ. That is in the Berat church building there on November 5th, and we've been asked to pray for our new sister. How exciting that is. Sure. And this is kind of why I'm bringing this up today, is because the Smiths are in the middle. Thank you very much. Smiths are in the middle of a long trip. Albania is down here, and the fellowship gathering, the retreat that they're going to or are at this weekend for the rest of the week, is up in Germany. 13 countries: Montenegro, Bosnia-Herzegovina, Croatia, Slovenia, the name's not there. Austria. Oh, somebody's pointing with me from the sound room. Germany. After the retreat, they're going to Košice. I've been trying to practice that. I never even knew there was a city. Košice, Slovakia, for a weekend with a ministry team there, with a ministry family there for Thanksgiving. So that's through Czechia, Slovakia, Hungary, down through Serbia, Kosovo, North Macedonia, and back to Albania again. 13 countries in 18 days, 2,800 miles, for fellowship, for connection, to interweave their work in Albania with other works around Europe. So please follow them on Facebook, write to them, encourage them. They feel very much a part of you, and they don't have very many ways to contact. The other reason I wanted to do this is just a couple of weeks ago, we asked you to fill out cards and letters. those boxes, the boxes that had your cards and letters in them, actually arrived yesterday and they got in their hands. So it just barely connected with them and they got your messages. They hadn't opened the boxes as of this morning yet, so they haven't read your sweet cards, but I wanted you to know about that. This is from their trip. They're trying to stop in every country to experience the country, to get to know a bit about the people there, to get to know the connection that they can help make for the Lord's work. And it's really quite an amazing experience. Snow in the Alps and cities and towns that are hundreds and thousands of years old. So pray for the Smiths. Get onto Facebook and share in their trip. Comment to their comments. If you don't do Facebook, send them an email. We're going to try to set up a video chat with them over the next in the month of December, so that you all can talk to them directly on a Sunday, on a Friday night. However we do it, we're going to work at doing that soon. Thank you so much for allowing me the detour. We're excited about the work. Like I said, they're sharing this with us. They've asked us to partner with them, and we want very much to do that. They're in the middle of quite an adventure. Let's go to our Father in prayer for His Word. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the power of Your Word. Thank you that we can reach across this country, and as Rocky said, we can participate in bringing the gospel to all nations. That we can participate in and showing people Your love, that we can do it right here to our neighbors in Alaska. We can do it wherever we travel for business, for vacations, for moves, whatever it is, Father, just to go to the store to buy a loaf of bread, Lord. Help us to bring Your light, Your love, Your purpose with us, and help us to learn from Your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And working together with Him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. What an interesting warning, especially in context. Paul struggles with the Corinthian church, and we saw from the first letter to the Corinthian church, we know they dealt with issues of unity. They were not united as a congregation. They dealt with issues of personal sin. They weren't dealing with personal sin. They dealt with issues of rudeness and of harm to one another, of not taking the Lord's Supper with focus and care. Serious issues. They were bragging about their own spiritual blessings. They were a really immature, bumpy congregation. And now he's writing his next letter both to praise and to continue to warn them. And in this context, he says, we're working together with Him. And not every version of the English Bible, English versions of the Bible does this. But in this case, the H in Him is capitalized. We're talking about Christ. We're talking about Christ. Let's see this in context. We want to read about this in context, just a second. But the warning here is we've been given the grace of God. Don't receive it in vain. If somebody gives you a gift and you drop it into the fire and walk away, that gift is in vain. If you throw it back in their face, your relationship is in worse shape than it was before the gift was given. There's a gift being given to us. And interesting that this is written to the church. We read through these verses this past week at home, and it caused us to sit up and take notice how strong this passage is. Encouraging, it's terrifying, it's rebuking, it's uplifting, it's challenging, It's inspiring. It has so many mixes in it, and you'll see what I mean in a second. But first of all, I want to check the context. I want us to check the context of working together with him. We urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. And the context is what we just read in chapter 5. We're ambassadors for Christ. Now, the we, just a caution, I say this all the time, the we is not we the church. The we in this context is we the traveling preachers. It's the group of men who are with Paul who are preaching and encouraging congregations as they travel. It's not that the rest of us aren't ambassadors for Christ. That's a different point to make. But just to be careful, we don't go too far with some of these verses. It's the end verse. It's verse 21 that might be one of the most stunning verses in all, maybe in all of Scripture, in all the New Testament. It's not that we haven't heard about Christ dying for our sins. It's not that we haven't heard about Christ's blood covering our sins. It's not that we haven't heard about his forgiveness and his grace. It's that it's never been described this way that I know of, not so succinctly and so bluntly. He made him who knew no sin to be sin. Christ becomes sin, and then so that. The reason God did this with Christ is that we might become righteousness. I am not righteousness by myself. Rocky did a nice job bringing our sins up in front of our face. In our song, we were able to bring our sin right up in our face. How deep the Father's love for us. We sang, and this is the part of that song that chokes me up. Why should I gain from his reward? Why do I, a selfish, shallow, difficult individual, why do I get the benefit of Christ dying on the cross? It's not right. It's not fair. It's entirely a gift. And it's a stunning gift. But this passage makes it even more stunning that Christ became sin. And we become righteousness. And then he says, don't receive this gift in vain. This is greater than we can imagine. This is more magnificent than we can understand. In fact, we cannot understand how this possibly could happen, except God says he's done it. The greatest, don't ever, 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 ever let go of this gift, the greatest gift ever. The most magnificent event ever, Christ dying on the cross for us. And he says, here, don't leave Christ. Come to Christ today. If you haven't been baptized into Christ, don't let today go by without sitting down with somebody and looking at the Bible about what you need to do about it. If you're ready to be baptized, we can take care of that today. Don't let this go by. Don't take this gift that's been set in your lap and drop it. Don't let go of it. Don't throw it away. Don't cast it into the fire, as I said earlier. The passage we're about to read talks about the passion and the determination not to take this incorrectly, to be inspired by what we've been given. Back to chapter 6, now in verse 2. For he says, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and at the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Taking the Old Testament calling of the coming of salvation of available to all people, he says, that's today. That's right now. Don't let this moment go by, and don't let this pass. Don't take this and run off into your life, busy as we are, doing all the things we're doing, and say, oh, yeah, Jesus died on the cross. I heard about that. Act, do, receive. There's two groups going on here in verse 3. We get this. Giving no cause for offense in anything so that the ministry will not be discredited. So there's two groups going on here. Paul is talking from the group of teachers that are with him, and he's talking to the church about the things that he's teaching them, the receiving of this gift. So you're in one group or the other group, or you're probably in both groups. If you're a Christian, you're in both groups. Because in one hand, you're part of the movement of the church to teach the magnificence of the gospel. But on the other hand, he's writing to the church not to lose your response, not to lose the fire in your heart that in response to the gift you've been given. So we're either in the team to reach out and help, or we're in the team to respond to the gift being given, or more likely, we go back and forth. This is very much a part of the maturing of Christ. We talked a month or two ago about repentance. The fact that repentance, our constant companion, is that constant need to change. Repentance is a change of mind resulting in a change of action. That we are people who act, who are moved, who don't let the pull of this world, who don't let the pull of this world stop us. We don't want anything to stop us. And Paul says, giving no cause for offense. I don't want anything to get in the way. No offense in anything. I don't want any of my action to offend anybody so that my stubbornness or my rudeness or my selfishness or my whatever it is would get in the way of the magnificence of what we're talking about. That nothing in my life will discredit the ministry, he says, so that the ministry will not be discredited. It's so important that our lives do not pull down the beauty of the message. And in verse 4, that we are servants of God. We're commending ourselves as servants of God. We won't let anything stop us. Now, here we start this inspiring list, an amazing list. Join me in verse 4. Paul says, I don't want anything to get in the way. I don't want any offense. I don't want anything discredited. I want the beauty of the message to get through. Don't let my clumsiness, don't let my human weakness get in the way of the magnificence of this message. And I'll do anything, I'll put up with anything to make sure this message gets through. And this is the call to our lives, that we won't take any difficulty of the world to let the message of Christ get stepped on. He says, in much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in difficulties. Paul says, I don't want any trouble to get in the way of the message. Is it hard to travel there? So what? Is it expensive? So what? Am I being stopped? Am I being halted? Am I being opposed by people attacking me and lying about me? So what? Do I get sick while I'm doing this? So be it. Is it hard? Yeah, it's hard. Working with you is not hard for me. I'm talking about the totality of bringing the gospel to the world. But nothing is to get in our way. He continues. Verse 5. In beatings. Do they mistreat us? I'm not going to put up with it. Don't worry about them mistreating you. It happens. Let the message of Christ get through. Imprisonments. We know about the New Testament stories about several people being imprisoned in Scripture and rejoicing over it. in mob attacks. We know Paul was attacked in Ephesus and other places. And people today are getting quite angry in certain circles at Christianity. Don't be surprised if simply because of your faith, you are opposed, you are discredited, you are criticized, you are not hired, you are fired from a job because you're focused on your Christian walk. All kinds of attacks can come to you. This is a statement of don't let it get in the way of your joy, of your walk, of your connection to Christ, nor bigger than that, don't let it get in the way of your life being a proclamation of how joyous and magnificent living in Christ is. In labors, don't let anything stop us. We won't let anything stop us. In sleepiness, in hunger, no personal difficulty. If you lose sleep, you get more cheerful or more grumpy? This sort of says don't. Your mood is your choice. Anybody ever heard of the word hangry? See, I get real judgmental at times. I really, really dislike that word. As if it's okay that I'm hungry, therefore I'm going to be difficult to get along with. You haven't given me dinner. I haven't had lunch. I was so busy that I had to skip whatever. I didn't get to have second. Is my feeling so important that I'm going to make you uncomfortable because I'm not happy? How selfish can I be? We're not going to let anything get in the way of the glory of the message of Christ. Let's not let this free gift reach us in vain, or anybody in vain. Lost sleep, didn't get to eat, needed to fast. This is why fasting is such a, part of the reason why fasting is such a good part of our Christian discipline is because it teaches us, within our own choice, it teaches us to get uncomfortable and continue to be joyful. Jesus says, when you fast, don't let anybody know that you're fasting. How about that for turning the thing upside down? You look so content, so sharp, so energetic, so cheerful when you're fasting, nobody knows it, says Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. Oh, I added a couple of words. In purity, in knowledge. Whoa, wait a second. We just changed gears. Or did we? We were going through a list of difficulties, and now we're talking about our understanding and our lives. Or is it a change? Is purity hard? Yeah. One of the problems with doing the right thing, if you have a really, really good prayer life, especially if you've just started it in the past few months, I know what I tend to feel about it. I tend to feel prideful about it. Yes, I'm praying enough. I'm never praying enough. But if you go over and mow somebody's lawn or help them out of a ditch or whatever, you ever get a feeling of patting yourself on the back or wanting somebody else to know you've done a good thing? You see, purity has this additional edge. Satan is able to take doing good things and turning it upside down on top of us and making us feel prideful about ourselves, looking for praise because we did something right. And purity is a challenge all by itself. So even in purity, even in righteousness, we find personal difficulties because of how, I know I do, because of how weak and immature I am. In knowledge, and it can be, we get warned in Corinthians about knowledge making us proud. Knowledge puffs up. I'm not going to let anything get in the way of the magnificence of the message. In patience, this continues that as this is now this new part of the list of doing the right things and making sure it's for Christ's glory, not for our glory. In patience, in kindness. It's difficult to be kind to people who are harsh. Love those who mistreat you. Do good to those who harm you. In the Holy Spirit, sounds like we're changing gears again, and in genuine love. Always reach for love. God's Spirit is in you, looking for opportunity to mature you, to change you, to grow you. And the greatest thing we can do, it's worth a lifelong study, is agape love. Verse 7, in the word of truth, the New Testament writers never get us very far from this. The fact that this magnificence in Christ isn't just approached any way we want to, that we are always to go back to the word. We are people of the word who follow the word, who teach the word, who don't just teach our own ideas, who don't just run the church the way we think it ought to be run, who don't change the way the church is shaped and behaved just because the world is changing around us and people are going to be mad at us if we don't fill in the blank, whatever it is. This is partly why Christianity is being more criticized today. It's because we are saying, it's not my church. It's not my church. It's Christ's church. And we're working, verse 1, we're working together with him. I didn't design the church. I didn't build the church. I didn't organize the church. I'm just part of the church. It's his church. And we follow his word. It's his salvation that I'm offering to people. And you don't get to just do it any way you want. You do it the way he said. Lean not on your own understanding. Lean not on your own understanding. In the power of God, this is not based on our own ability. That's what I said. This is such a serious warning. But then we have this inspiring list of challenges, beatings, imprisonments, tumults, labors, sleeplessness, hunger, purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, Holy Spirit, genuine love, the word of truth. We have this inspiring list. Paul says, whatever it is that you're in, make it part of the victory, not something that gets in the way of the message. With weapons of righteousness on every side, in our right hand and in our left, we are determined. We are not going to let the message of Christ get lost or covered up by our lives. Verses 8 and 9, by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report. They'll lie about us. I don't mean we have wonderful people around us, but you'll be lied about. Just know you're doing the right thing. Charged as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying yet we live on, as punished yet not dead. Unknown yet well known, as dying yet behold, we live as punished yet not put to death. That's why I said this is inspiring. Go home this afternoon and read it again. Read it again before you go to bed tonight. Listen to Paul's passion that the message of Christ will continue no matter the difficulty. Don't let a difficulty in our individual lives or in our collective lives or in your family life ever get in the way of the magnificence of the gospel. Don't let any argument, don't let any loss of money, don't let any division, don't let anything, don't let any sickness, don't let any family anger, don't let anything get in the way of what we have and what we're holding on in Christ. Satan is determined to cause you to give up and let go. Don't let anything get in the way. We can feel sorrowful, but we're always rejoicing. We're always rejoicing. Not because necessarily of the status of our life on earth, but because of the magnificence of what we're holding on to. We are in Christ. We can be poor, but we're making many rich. As having nothing, yet possessing all things. It's a simple lesson, but oh, it's deep. Every part of this, it is so easy to feel sorry for ourselves. It is so easy to stay self-focused. Nobody likes me. I got fired because of this. My job is difficult. My marriage is difficult. My home is difficult. None of it, don't let any of it get in the way of who we are and what we're doing. The structure of this world has all kinds of difficulties in it. Don't let go of Christ. Don't ever let go of Christ. Don't ever give up on his church. Don't ever stop following his word. There's a result of this. There's a result of this. Our mouth, verse 11, has spoken freely to you, O Corinthians. We're open with the truth. Our mouth has spoken freely to you, O Corinthians, so our heart is open wide. We're to be connected by heart. You're not restrained by us. You're not restrained by us, he says in verse 12, but you're being restrained. You are restrained in your own affections. You're not restrained by us, but you are restrained in your own affections. We're wrapping up the lesson right here, but this is, do not love the world or anything in the world. This is Christ warning us about where our heart is. Do not let your heart take you in the wrong direction. Your heart will be tied to whatever it is you love the most, whatever it is you prioritize, warns Jesus. He says, don't be restrained by your own affections. It's by what we love, by what's important to us, by what we spend our time on, by what we spend our money on. This is inspirational. This passion that Paul has, I don't want anything to stop getting this message across to people. We can't just skip through life, taking it however it comes, letting us get good and grumpy and good and difficult, and I don't like the way that's happening, therefore I'm not going to. Whatever it is, we are part of Christ and have a totally different way to live life, a totally different way to prioritize things. And we're not worried about how difficult our life is on us. It's all about Christ, and we rejoice always. So I give to you 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the end of the very next thing he warns us about is about being intertwined with the world. And so that very thing that we love is usually something that the world is really good at. So don't be intertwined with the world, is where he goes with it. But that inspiring message that starts with this proclamation about Christ that's too good to be true, too impossible, except that it's real, that Christ became sin so that we might become righteousness. Wow. And we would ignore that? Yeah. People ignore that all the time. It's ignored not because it's not significant. It's ignored not because it's not true. It's ignored because it's not understood. If people understood how magnificent and wonderful God is and how horrible his absence is, hell. Being separated from God is more horrible than we know. If we understood that, this middle part wouldn't be an issue. We would be completely, passionately hanging on to Christ and telling everybody else the same. As I said, if any here are here who have not been baptized, we're willing to make that happen now if you're ready. We're willing to study with you today in any way we can. Just don't let this beautiful message arrive in vain. Please stand while we sing the song that's been selected.